It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, good to be back with you here on a Thursday, April 3rd, the day before my birthday. I'm going to take off again for my birthday tomorrow. No, I'm not really. I'm not going to, but you'll hear from me again tomorrow. But it is good to be back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Want to first thank, as always, Josh Schmidt, my producer here, and Zach Jones, who'll be in a little bit later, and Derek Kramer for hosting and steering the ship over the last several days. And obviously, I joined them from the NFL owners meetings down in Palm Beach. But yeah, it was a good week. And I'm sure you guys got into a lot of the stuff going down there at the owners' meetings, Josh. You know, some good debates and discussion we had here on the show, obviously. But, you know, a lot of things that I think people still are, you know, debating, I guess, about the Bills offseason, NFL rules, stuff like that. So anyway, thank you. Thank you and Zach and Derek for that. What's it like working with Zach and Derek? They cool to you?
Oh, yeah, of course they're cool. They got to be cool to me or else I'll turn their mics off, you know?
I mean, I love it. They did a good job, but I really appreciate that. So a lot happened at the NFL owners meetings. I think I was on with you guys when I said I learned some geography. It was not West Palm Beach. Now there's Palm Beach, there's West Palm Beach. So West Palm Beach, actually Palm Beach is more like, it's more on the coast, obviously. It's like almost like an island, right? But it stretches down and there are bridges. You go over a bridge. You're in West Palm Beach, you go over a bridge, now you're in Palm Beach. So whenever I would say I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida, it really wasn't accurate. It was Palm Beach, Florida. The hotel I was staying at was in West Palm Beach. Now, I couldn't stay at the hotel where the owners were because that's the Breakers, and I don't think Odyssey would like me very much to be booking hotels there and submitting that expense account. So the media really doesn't stay at that same hotel. But I did learn, Josh, that the difference was between West Palm Beach, where I was staying, and then would drive over the bridge every morning, then that would be Palm Beach, where the Breakers Hotel is.
That's just way too many, like, you know, differences. Why not just have it all just be one big thing? You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's,
well,
like,
I mean,
it's a city, so you got to kind of break it up, I guess. But, like, that's like,
I mean, I guess it's the same thing if you say to somebody you're in North Tonawanda and they go, no, you're in Tonawanda.
Oh, right. That's true.
Or if you're in Tonawanda, no, you're in North Tonawanda, right? There's a difference there.
That does make, and I think North Tonawanda and Tonawanda are separated by a bridge, are they not?
I think they are. That's like, right. They're also, it's a pretty big rivalry up there. It has been for many years, in many ways, a friendly rivalry, I guess. But yeah, for sure. So anyway, it was in Palm Beach, Florida, and a lot happened there, including the NFL rules that were passed, that weren't passed, that were tabled. I'd like to get into that a little bit today. Obviously, the tush push was front and center, and Sean McDermott had a lot to say about that, where his position is on it. So we'll get into all that. And of course, the Bills stuff, right? I mean, James Cook and his situation. I know that Jeremy and Nate had been talking about it all morning. And I'd like to continue that a little bit today, as well as Mac Hollins. And I say that because I'll tell you, it's funny. McDermott speaks on Sunday last week and was asked about Mac Hollins. Maybe it was even Bean. They both were, I guess. And, you know, they talked about, you know, Mac Hollins, especially McDermott, and, you know, he's a big piece of what we had last year. That's a void to fill. Obviously, he helped them on offense, but really on special teams as well. Big role for him. And a lot of people said right away, well, why didn't you just resign him then? Just resign him. And my response would be, well, he got up to $10.4 million over 2 years with the New England Patriots. And I think that would be why. And there were still people who said, well, I still would have done it. So I actually put up a poll yesterday. And this poll right now, you can find this on my Twitter feed, at Sal Sports. And the poll has, we are 3 votes shy of 8,000 votes. So we have a lot of votes. So go there now. You can vote. I think this poll has 2 hours left. I put it up right at noon yesterday. So you have until noon today. It's a one-day poll, all right? We're 3 votes shy of 8,000. So we got a really good sample size here. And the question I posed on the poll was, would you have wanted the Bills to pay Mac Hollins the exact same deal he got in New England? 2 years, $8.4 million base salary with incentives that could reach $10.4 million total. And it is actually a lot closer than I thought it would be. 54% of you say, no, you would not give him that deal. 46% say yes, you would give him that deal. A little closer than I thought. I thought more would say no, a little too steep. But you can go there and vote, and I'd like to see the results. And I want to talk about that and James Cook and how all of this is kind of related. Wow, we're already up to over 8,000 votes, I think, now since I said that. So thank you. So it's all kind of related, right, and how all this works. And it's really interesting, I think, that sometimes, and of course, some fans just don't know, and that's fine, and people reading, and I try to help them and answer questions, or some questions I don't know the answer to, but whenever I can, I'll answer it. But a lot of times I just see people throw out things that just are unrealistic. Well, I would have done this and done that. Well, you can't do that. Somebody said to me today, I would have just dumped Curtis Samuel. Yeah, then you would have spent close to $15 million in dead money, $12 million in dead money on the cap, and then another three, I think, that you have to add on top of it for other reasons. But even if it was a June 1 cut, it would have been over $8 million this year and next year. So you're not just dumping Curtis Samuel. Like, those are things you just can't throw out there, right? For example, and that's fine if you don't know that stuff, but this is why it's not always linear. It's not always just that straight. With this question, though, as a lot of people also said, well, Sal, I don't know who it would have cost them to bring in. Well, look, I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. I don't want to make it complicated. The simple question I'm asking you in this poll is, would you have given him that same contract? Because I want to get into why it should be that simple in a second. Let me reset the show for you, though, and set it up for you today. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. When you do tweet me at Sal Sports, or you do call me at 803-0550, that is getting connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. So we have Jonah Bronstein joining me at 10:30 today. And the reason why Jonah's going to join me, he is a digital sports reporter for News 4 in Buffalo, Channel 4, a contributor with the AP. And Jonah is somebody, you all know I'm a big college basketball fan, and you also know I'm very much into the high school scene and, you know, whether it's current or past high school scene. I know Carlin Hartman, associate coach at Florida, was on with Shope and Bulldog yesterday. He's a Grand Island native, a lot of ties in college basketball. Jonah's a big college basketball fan. He's very much on top of the scene, and he's been covering the UB women, and they are headed to the NIT championship, the women's NIT championship. How about that, Josh? You guys had Becky Burke on last week. Every time Becky Burke comes on, I'm not on. It just seems like it fits in the windows where you guys can talk to her. You've developed this relationship, having her come on the Extra Point Show with Zach and Derek and you. And how about that? The women's NIT championship Sunday at 5 p.m. right here at Alumni Arena against Troy. That's pretty cool, Josh, isn't it?
Yeah, that was such an awesome thing to open up and see on Twitter last night. I remembered, I got to go check the score, see what happened. And then you see the score and you see they won. It's like, oh, that's great. They got to the final. And then it's like, okay, did they get the attendance they needed? Are they going to get into are they going to have the final here? And then you see the next tweet is like, boom, yeah, the final's going to be at Alumni Arena. It's just, it's awesome that, awesome for local college basketball just in general, and especially awesome for the UB women. Like, that's a really great achievement for them.
Yeah, for sure. So Jonah's going to join me at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk about the season that the women have had, the UB women under Becky Burke. They're headed to the women's NIT final, which is a super big deal, super cool for our area. We didn't have a lot of success in college basketball, much success this year, but that is one of the teams that did, and they are headed to the women's NIT final on April 5th. I mean, you think about it, the college basketball season in the country ends Monday night, right? The championship game. This week we have the Final Four and we have the championship game. You have a team here in Buffalo, the UB Bulls, the women's team, that's literally playing on the second to last day of the entire season and the last day of women. Now, when is the women's NCAA final? Actually, I need to get that one though, because maybe, is that on Tuesday actually? Just want to make sure I have this tomorrow. Okay, Final Four is going on tomorrow. Here's the women, and then let's see. I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah, Sunday, April 6th is the championship. So April 5th, I should say, is, oh, that's Saturday. April 5th is Saturday, and I kept saying Sunday. My apologies. That's why I'm getting this confused. April 5th is the women's NIT. April 6th is the NCAA Women's Championship. And then the men are the following night on April 7th. But you have all this, and UB has a team in it. Okay, that is one successful team. Also, the Damon men's team. How about Mike McDonald, our good friend? And this is a team that was undefeated all season until they went into the Division II tournament, and they unfortunately lost in the second round. They were the number one seed. But obviously, Jonah was covering that all year. So we're going to talk about all of that. And Mike McDonald, he was actually awarded the Division II Coach of the Year for the entire country. So that is very cool. Jonah Bronstein at 10:30. We'll talk college basketball with Jonah, and also a little bit of some connections going on the high school scene up at the college level this time of year. In the meantime, I want to take your call on both Mac Hollins and James Cook. All right. What would you have done with Mac? Would you have given that deal? And what do you think the Bills should do with James Cook? Because to me, the story of the owners' meetings for the Bills, the story of the Bills' owners' meetings, like the Bills' side of things, is Brandon Bean's comments about James Cook. Anytime, not going to get a contract, quote, anytime soon. That's what he said. I don't expect a contract extension, quote, anytime soon. Well, since that has happened, we now have, apparently James Cook has put his house up for sale. And that's been the report. I saw that. Nick Veronica tweeted it out also from WIVB TV Channel 4. I think there's some other reports about that, but apparently that has happened. So now everybody's trying to tie the tea leaves together. What does that mean? Look, I'm here to tell you, it could mean something. It doesn't have to mean anything. I think it's important to note that just because you put your house up for sale doesn't mean you actually have to sell your house. I know people who have their house up for sale, who've had it, who ultimately didn't sell or sold it a year and a half later, right? I mean, it doesn't mean you're necessarily moving out of your house immediately. I also wonder if it's something of a negotiating tactic with his agent. Is it his agent saying, hey, we need to do this? It could be anything. Maybe it's James Cook. Maybe there's a trade on the horizon. I don't know what it means. I just would say It could mean something. It could mean absolutely nothing. I'll tell you, a few years ago, it's a true story. A few years ago, I don't remember exactly what year it was. You can look it up. Brandon Bean listed his house for sale. And I had like a lot of people showing me and texting me. Oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? I asked Brandon Bean. I said, hey, dude, like you got your house for sale. Like everybody wants to know what's going on. Are you leaving? Is there something going on? You know, you can tell me, not tell me, but I'm going to ask you. And he looked right at me and he goes, yeah, Sal, we had to downsize. Like my kids are in college. So we're downsizing. Like we're just going to move into another house. So like you don't, doesn't have to be this grand conspiracy or something like that. And by the way, Brandon Bean is still the GM of the Bills, obviously, right? So you don't have to have something mean something. It doesn't, it can, it doesn't have to. All right, that's number one on James Cook. Number two on James Cook is, let's remember that it's not just him. Every time we talk about James Cook wants this, James Cook. Yeah, he gives direction to his agent, but the agent generally handles a lot of this kind of stuff. And I'm just watching from afar and going, I just wonder, you know, how much this is agent driven, how much this is James Cook driven. You know, he's here, says, okay, put your house up for sale. Is, I'm not saying he doesn't, you know, James has to be on board, right? He's accountable. That's his agent. So he's going to kind of, you know, if he doesn't want it, want something, he can tell him, hey, back off. Don't do that. But I do wonder in that scenario what, you know, what that dynamic is and how much maybe that's playing a role here. Brandon Bean said that they did have talks with James representatives. It was out there. He said, well, it's been out there, so I'll say it. We did. And when it became clear they weren't going to strike a deal this early in the offseason, they pivoted to others who they felt they could get done. And look what happened. First one up, Khalil Shakir. Bam. Next one up, Greg Rousseau. Bam. Next one up, Terrell Bernard. Bam. And then finally, Christian Benford. Bam. By the way, other thing about today's show, we're going to hear from Christian Benford, his session with the media yesterday. We'll do that at 11 a.m. So Christian Benford at 11 a.m., you'll hear everything he said about staying in Buffalo. So that leaves James Cook. And it doesn't leave a ton of money, but you know, if you struck a deal right now, if James Cook raised his hand, went into Brandon Bean's office, whatever, and said, hey, I want to stay here. I mean, I know that this, we put all these numbers out there, but let's just make it work and I'll settle for, you know, whatever you're offering, whatever that is, which I'll get to in a second because I think this is important. If he said that and said, let's work it out this year, even if you don't have the money for the cap, let's do it at your number. It's getting done, folks. If that's the case, it's getting done, right? Like it, that's all it takes. It's all it takes. Even though Brandon Bean says we're focusing on the draft. Yeah, of course. Anything can change at a moment's notice. We've seen that. All right. They're not trading Stephon Diggs until they trade Stephon Diggs. Myles Garrett is going to go to another team until he signs a contract extension with the Cleveland Browns. Anything can change at any point. Okay. But what's not really going to change, and this is the point between Cook and Mac Hollins, and why I think that they're so related in this regard in a totally different way, but they're very related in this one way. I think what people have to understand is, and I've been doing this long enough and talked with enough people in executive positions and GMs and personnel people and contract negotiators. Every team has their own, you know, cap guy and contract negotiator, like an agent for the team. I've talked with enough people to know what teams do is they put a value on a player. They say, this is, we've done the comps. This player is comparable to this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And we are comfortable paying him this amount of money. They put a value on a player, okay? It is not, now, can you adjust the value? Of course. You can move things around a little bit here and there. Generally, you're not going to wildly adjust your value. That's your value for the guy. It's not a moving target based on what he tweets. It's not a moving target based on him putting his house up for sale. It's the value they put on him. Now, it can be a moving target based on performance the next year. It can be a bit of a moving target based on other deals that are signed. James Cook's value maybe a year ago, coming up the same season, might be different than now based on seeing what Barkley got and what Jacobs got last offseason. Here we are. But the Bills are going to put a value on James Cook. Brandon Bean said, we want to keep everything in-house. He said, but James is a grown man. He can put it out there what he wants. He's a grown man. He can do that. He doesn't like it, but he has the ability to do that. What I'm here to tell you is, the point is, it's not changing the value the Bills have on him. Couldn't they adjust a little bit? Yeah. Can they make build some things in for incentives? Sure. It's a negotiation, right? You always, one side starts low, one side starts high. You move a little bit. But the fact that we have enough evidence now, like we have enough evidence in the James Cook situation that the Bills have a certain value on him that they're not really moving, and James has a certain value on him and his agent that they're not really moving. And that's their right too. But this isn't some deal where, oh my God, the Bills have to, they don't like what he's doing publicly, so they're going to raise their price or lower their price. No, it's the price. Hey, you can handle it how you want, but we got a value on you. The same thing with Mac Hollins. Okay, when I tweet out a poll and says, would you give Mac Hollins that contract? And a lot of you say, well, what would it cost them? I had so many people say, deals don't happen in a vacuum. Well, that's true to a point, because we know that, because, listen, I just told you, the Bills say, okay, we can't get a deal done with James. Who can we get a deal done? That all impacts it. But they're still going to have a value on Mac Hollins. They're still going to have a value on that player. The question might be timing and when you can get it done. But if you have a value on a player, I mean, this happened a couple years ago with Dane Jackson, actually, ironically, who's back now. And do you remember the J.D. McKissic situation? You remember all that happened a couple years ago? J.D. McKissic agreed to a deal with the Bills. He agreed to a deal with the Bills. The Bills then, they had a value on Dane Jackson. They could have signed him, but because of the cap space, we can't do that. So they had to kind of let Dane go. I think it was Dane, I think in this scenario, if I remember right. So they let him go. And then J.D. McKissic backed out. They could have gone back to Dane Jackson and signed him. So yes, it can be. It isn't completely in a vacuum. I get it. But it wasn't like they completely changed their value on Dane Jackson because of J.D. McKissic. What happened was the cap space changed and the ability to afford him changed. I'm here to tell you, just based on everything I know and how this plays out, the Bills had a value on Mac Hollins. The Patriots had a higher value. That's why he's gone. And for whatever reason, he decided to go there. And I think it has a lot to do with Josh McDaniels. In fact, I know, being in New England as well. But that's when I say how James Cook and Mac Hollins are related. The way they're related is this is how it works for everyone. You put a value on a player. And then you say, is he worth that? Can you adjust? Sure. You're not adjusting wildly. You could also kind of put some funny money in there to say, we're going to make it look better for the agent to put some numbers out there, some incentives. He's not going to reach the incentives. Okay, but that's okay. I mean, that happens too. 803-0550. All right. Let's go to Mark in North Carolina to start us off here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Phil. How are you? First off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
This James Cook situation, it reminds me a lot of what his brother did in Minnesota. My daughter is a huge Vikings fan. She loves the Bills, but she's always been a Vikings fan. And we've talked about this. Cook's brother did the same thing. Had a couple good years in the beginning, was a two-down back. Minnesota had Matheson as a third-down back, and he demanded huge money just because he thought he had a good year. Now, you know, I'm not going to discredit James Cook at all. I think he's very talented, but he's way above and beyond where he should be or where he should be thinking. I mean, how does he demand to have more money than Derrick Henry? How does he demand to have some of this money that people who are – he's not even been in the league to earn it long enough. So I think if we look for a running back maybe in the fourth round, James Scadavo from Arizona State – there's going to be some talent there. I already like Johnson as our backup running back and Davis. I think we've got a lot of talent there. You know what? I don't think Brandon Bean should go ahead and sweat this James Cook thing out. I think he's going to create his own hole in the ground, and Cook's going to try to have to see if he can dig himself out of what his mouth, the check that his mouth can't cash yet. And he needs to have more of an eye-opening appearance or an eye-opening that, you know what? You're talented, you're a good back, but you're not Saquon Barkley. You haven't taken us to a Super Bowl. That's just, it's just frustration on my part. He's taking advice from the wrong people, and I think one of those people is his brother.
Well, his brother, I think, shares the same agent or shared. Thank you, Mark, for the call. Mark is actually a great example of something I wanted to bring up. Like, I know this happens in every market. I understand that. But I think here in Buffalo, it kind of ramps up even more because of the type of market we are, the type of people we are, where a lot of us come from. When you make it about money and keep asking and you create some sort of issue and divide, the fans start to turn on you a little bit. And I'm not saying Mark says, I love James Cook. I get it. I'm not saying Mark's turning on him, but there is a segment of this fan base that is really, I'd say, really upset that, you know, at James Cook doing this and making him seem really like the bad guy in this scenario. It doesn't mean it's fair or right. I just think in this market in Buffalo, when that happens, look, I go back. A lot of you are going to remember this. I remember when Joe Cribbs did this. This is pre-salary cap. Joe Cribbs, early, mid-1980s, really good running back. Contract dispute with Ralph Wilson. Know what he said? Did? I'm going to the USFL. Just like Jim Kelly in a different way. He was drafted, never signed. Joe Cribbs did the same thing. Went to the USFL. Like, and I remember the backlash. This goes back many years. I remember this happening with Bruce Smith early on in his career. Yes, I know it happens in a lot of markets, but I just think in Buffalo, this is one of the places you go down that road, you change perception of you from fans. Let's go to Dan and Kenmore. Hi, Dan.
How are you doing? Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. It's tomorrow, but I appreciate the early birthday. Thank you.
Now, on Cook, he wants to get paid like the big boys, but the Bills say he doesn't play like the big boys. He's a year left on his contract. Play him like one of the big boys and see what he does with it. If he can't handle it, then you don't put the $15 million out for him. And then cut your cord with him or trade him or what, but you know what you have at that point.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dan. I think in a couple things on this, all right? First of all, we don't know what the Bills' value is in James Cook. I have no idea. Does anybody know? Brandon Bean doesn't do that. He doesn't say we value him at $10 million. He said he doesn't want to value him like one of the big boys. If you found out today, Dan, or anybody else listening, if you found out today, and I don't know this, we don't know this, but let's just say hypothetically, you found out today that the Bills view James Cook as a $10 million back. Folks, that's still sixth in the league. That's six. That's, to me, one of the big boys. The problem with what you're saying is, Dan, yeah, you can treat him like that. You're not going to cut your nose to spite your face. Sorry. You don't want to do it. If James Cook can't handle that kind of work of what you're talking about, then you're going to hurt your team. So I don't think the Bills are going to do that. We also don't know. I mean, I think that the big question is what actually happens this year and him playing and showing up and fines and all that. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Jeff in Buffalo's up next before we get to Jonah Bronstein on the other side of this break. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guy, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
When the news broke out that, he came out and said, I want $15 million, feed me, pay me, whatever. Me and my son, and like I say, I go back to the Cribbs days and the Thurman days. And the Bills, I mean, they never really do pay a running back. And the way that the team's set up is, with the quarterback, so on and so forth, and some of the other people that we pay, I just don't see it happening. And if you look at Cook's overall, as long as he's been here, his carries, the one caller's right, he sort of like doesn't justify being paid that much. I mean, you're not getting, 70% of the carries, and who knows if you're, how your body or if you can even pull that off as a James Cook, a 70, a 65. And that's not going to happen in this offense. So I don't see us spending money on Cook, even though he's a good – I got none against the guy, talented, got his own little thing, shake going there. But I think longevity, you haven't seen it yet. And a workload isn't worth $15 million, isn't even worth $12 million. And the way the Bills are set up, salary cap wise and so on and so forth, I just don't see Cook. So if you could move him, and again, here goes, it's a lot easier said than done. I'm not saying we're going to get a second round pick for him because that's just not the way it works, especially when this team's got to pay this guy coming up. If you could pull off something, whether it be future pick or something like that, or determinant on his output and what he does for that team that you trade him to. I just don't. Otherwise, this is just going to be a thorn. Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, I got to run, buddy. I got to get to a break. I appreciate it. I think that, you've made your point. No doubt about it. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to run here. You made some good points there. I will say, look, and obviously things change, right? We can't compare what, the Bills of the 80s or 90s did with running backs and how they paid them versus today. I was making the point of, that there was a contentious relationship between Cribbs and Ralph Wilson. But your overall point is right, I think, about how this team is constructed. I agree completely. This team is constructed to pay the quarterback and make sure that, he has enough people around him. Once you start paying a lot of other positions on offense around the quarterback, it's a lot tougher, right, to do that. So you're paying the quarterback and for the right reasons there. Okay, couple of things. First of all, thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate it. And he reminded me on Twitter, at Sal Sports, it was Levi Wallace who they lost because of the J.D. McKissick thing. Thank you. See, I'll be 52 tomorrow, Jack, and I'm kind of losing, you know, my memories a little bit over the last couple of years, but I appreciate it. That's right. It was J.D. McKissick who the Bills almost signed J.D. McKissick. They didn't, and that kind of cost them Levi Wallace in free agency. So, yeah, thank you very much. And again, yes, thanks, Mike. I did correct myself. I want to make sure we do it again. The UB game, women, the women's NIT final is Saturday at Alumni Arena at 5 p.m., and that's why we are going to talk with Jonah Bronstein about it up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Stay with me. All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you today. It is April 3rd. We are heading towards championship weekend in college basketball. The women, the men, you got the men's basketball championship on Monday night. The Final Four is on Saturday. On Sunday, you're going to have the women. Their championship game is going to be played. And on Saturday, right here in our own backyard, not far from our Amherst studios in Buffalo, is going to be the UB women playing for the NIT championship against Troy. Jonah Bronstein's been covering the women's basketball team, and as well as all other college athletics here in the Western New York area for quite a while. And we're going to talk with him right now on the Western Hotline. He's a digital reporter for Channel 4, WIVB, also an AP contributor. What's up, buddy? Good to talk to you today.
Good to join you, Sal. We're going to talk some April Madness in Western New York, which has never been seen around here before.
I love it. You know, I was just saying how cool it is to have a team from this area playing this late into the college basketball season, right? I mean, it hasn't happened in a long, long time, obviously. But that's UB women. How did they get here? Maybe familiarize a lot of our listeners with how the UB women were able to get to this position.
Well, they had a really good season. Third season under Coach Becky Burke. Last year, they won 19 games. Now they're up to 29, matching their school record. They started 11-0 in non-conference play. First time UB has ever done that as a women's program. In the MAC season, they were the number three seed, lost in the semifinals, very competitive in the MAC, but that's as far as they went down in Cleveland, and then got an invite to join this WNIT and hosted a first-round game, and they've won four games in the tournament, three of them coming at Alumni Arena, each with a bigger and bigger crowd, and they've all been exciting. Fourth-quarter comebacks and a lot of energy in the gym for this team's postseason run.
What happened in the NIT? How did they get to this particular point over the last week or so?
The first game they beat against UMass, then they went on the road against Southern Indiana, and they played Rutgers last weekend, which was their first time beating a Power 5 team in about 5 years since they were in the NCAA tournament and beat Rutgers to make it to the Sweet 16 a few years back. And now they just won the semifinal game against it's escaping my mind, too. They are playing
Cleveland State
here in the final. Cleveland State. Right. There you go. Thanks, Sal.
There you go. No problem. No problem.
Cleveland State last night, they were only down a point going into the fourth quarter. In their previous games, they were down 10 and 6. And fourth quarter comebacks has been a real theme for this team. Eight different times this year, they've won games when they were trailing going into the fourth quarter. Coach Becky Burke has said they almost like being in that position better than having the lead. They play spicier with a little bit more aggressiveness when they're down in the second half. And that's been a theme for their years. And now Troy is a team that they actually opened the season against with a home game in the MAC Sun Belt Challenge, and that was a real entertaining back-and-forth affair. They didn't come back, but it was tied and lead changes a lot in the fourth quarter, and UB won that game 80-78 to kick off the season.
I'm looking here. They had an overtime win along the way here, it looks like, from UMass. Huh? I mean, so you never know. I mean, this is what happens in March. You have to be able to kind of survive in advance, right? That's what the old saying is, obviously, from Jimmy V.
Yeah, and it's a nice opportunity for this team. Obviously, the goal is to win your conference and go to the NCAA tournament. But especially in the women's games, the top teams are so good that a school like the MAC, UB made the Sweet 16 before. They made it to the second round in the past. But it's very hard to win games in that tournament. This tournament, more winnable games, opportunities to play at home, which doesn't happen in the national tournaments. And even in the WBIT, which is another tournament, those games are played. The finals and the semifinals played at Hinkle Fieldhouse, where Butler plays in Indiana. And that's a really cool experience for the team and the players and the coach to go there. But for the culture and the fans and local college basketball, having a championship game in Buffalo, in Western New York, is a rare experience. It doesn't happen in the other tournaments, and you have to have a team that's good enough to get to this level to be able to cut down the nets on your home floor. There's very, very few teams. You know, there's about 1,800 women's college basketball teams at all the levels, Division I, II, or III, junior college, and everything you want to count. And UB and Troy are going to be two of the last four playing in the whole country. There's going to be the Women's National Championship game, Division I, on Sunday, and Saturday there's going to be the WNIT game in Buffalo.
I love that. Saturday at 5 p.m. If you want tickets, go to ubbulls.com. Let's pack Alumni Arena and root on the UB women in the NIT championship. A couple of players maybe of note. If you're going to the game, you're a little unfamiliar, or maybe just because we should recognize some of the better players on this team and what they've done this year. Tell us about that, Jonah.
Yeah, the best player is Shella Watson, a shooting guard that's averaging a little over 20 points a game. She's in the top 20 nationally in scoring. She was up there, even a little bit higher last year. She's been UB's best player since she got brought into the program last year by Becky Burke. She played for her at the previous college. And the starting point guard is a really cool story. Lonnie Cornfield, she's a Cattaraugus Reservation native, played high school basketball and lacrosse, had a twin sister, Shawnee, who was really the better high school player and a higher recruited prospect. Her sister got a Division I scholarship, and Lonnie went to junior college out of high school and worked her way up to being a Division I player, was at Southern Mississippi for a couple of years, playing in the same Sun Belt Conference against Troy twice a year, and then transferred home to UB this year to play in front of her friends and family and be closer to home and play for a really competitive team that she thought had a chance to maybe make it to the NCAA tournament. And now she's been a great player for them in this postseason run. She plays almost 40 minutes a night, keys their defense, getting four, five, six steals in almost every game. and, you know, made the last field goal of the game last night. She's really turned into probably their second or third best offensive player, their best defensive player, and a real team leader.
That is UB Women. They're playing on Saturday for the Women's NIT Championship. Jonah Bronstein join us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. On the men's side, a fantastic season for Damon men's basketball. Unfortunately, it ended a little bit too soon. They were the only remaining undefeated college basketball team at any level in the entire country. They go into the Division II tournament, and they ultimately lose in the second round at home, St. Thomas Aquinas. Tough to beat a team four times in a year, right, Joan? I mean, they'd already beaten them three times in a year. But now we also know great recognition for Mike McDonald, named the Division II Men's Basketball Coach of the Year. If you could kind of just familiarize Damon men's basketball and their season and review it with our listeners, that'd be great.
Well, Damon's had a strong program really since Mike McDonald came in about 11 years ago, but it really hit its zenith this past year, being undefeated for the entire regular season, as you mentioned, being the last undefeated team left in college basketball at any level. And making it to the NCAA tournament, they were ranked number one in the country in one of the national polls and number two in the other, got the opportunity to host the East Regional NCAA tournament games, which is another unique experience in Western New York college basketball because that Division II tournament starts on campus sites for the first three rounds. And Damon was able to host those games, won the first round game, did not win the second round game, and wasn't able to play in that regional final a couple nights later. But it was still, you know, that was a really cool experience being in those gyms because Damon Lumsden Gymnasium is not very big. It was sold out quickly, but it had that packed high school gym atmosphere. And kind of the cool thing, I've seen you over at these Damon games, and you know this, pretty much everybody in the stands knows and has a personal connection with Mike McDonald and a lot of the players and a lot of the support staff at Damon. And it has a real small college, hometown feel atmosphere in those games. And having NCAA tournament and conference tournament championship game with Damon being the number one team in the country and the extra attention that was on to that was really a neat experience for anybody that's followed that Damon program and local college basketball with a lot of local Western New York players on that roster as well.
No doubt about it. And obviously Mike's had a fabulous career as a head coach. His son is actually the general manager now of the G League. I think it's the Long Island Nets of the Brooklyn Nets, right? G League team of the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, son, Matt is general manager of the Long Island team, but the Brooklyn Nets, and probably on his way to being an NBA general manager at some point in his career. That's the path he's on. He's got another son, Patrick, who works for the U.S. Navy and is off working on warships around the country and around the world. Yeah. And a third son who's an assistant coach at Buff State Basketball locally. McDonald closing in on 500 career wins. They're going to be good again next year. They get five of their top eight players back, including All-American center Ben Bill from Hamburg. And they're going to be, if not number one in the country, kind of a top-ranked team. And I think they're trying to get another top-ranked team to come and play against Damon in that triple header at the arena with, you know, Canisius, Bonaventure, Niagara, and UB also involved in that event at some point in November or December.
Would that be a key bank, maybe, if they could do something like that, you think?
Yeah. They're definitely going to play games there, working on the opponents and who's playing there. But because it's an NCAA tournament year, Canisius and Niagara have to host games, at least one game earlier in the season. And Damon's been included in that in the past and will probably be invited to play another game there. And they just have to find a good opponent to draw people like me to want to watch them, me and you.
No, I know you'll be there. And I'll tell you, that's right. Next year, the tournament does come to Buffalo, the NCAA tournament. I'm glad you mentioned that. It jars me to ask you about my conversation with Pete Gwelly when I was at the owners' meetings. He specifically said, we want to make Buffalo a college basketball destination. They have some plans for downtown, the arena. They want to bring bigger college basketball events to KeyBank Center. Obviously, they're still doing some upgrades. They want to upgrade around the arena. They think college basketball can thrive for some events here in downtown Buffalo. What do you think about that, given the appetite here and the teams here locally for college basketball, women and men?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, 20 years ago or so when they opened the arena, they used to play a lot of college basketball games down there. And previously at the Odd, before that, they had a real commitment when they opened that building to making it a regular event, college basketball games almost every weekend, if not a few times a month. And they brought in big teams. They had Big Four doubleheaders there a lot. And that waned over the years. The attendance got smaller and smaller. It got harder to turn a profit with bringing those teams in. You usually have to pay a big college to come in here, a guaranteed fee, and it just became a financial proposition that wasn't worth it for the people running the arena as the year has gone by. I would like to see more and more of those games, but it's an interesting balance of finding the right team that the local fans will want to go out and see, because it really got to a point where if it wasn't a team that was top 10 or 15 in the country, it didn't get quite the buzz around here that was needed to get enough people in the building. But I think if they brought that back, because it's been a while, and brought some people, you know, if you bring Alabama with Nate Oates as the coach,
yeah,
they're going to want to go see that game. So I think the right opponents, the right, really needs the right basketball person booking it, seeing a year ahead of time with the roster, transfer portal, all that turnover. It's a little bit harder to guess who's going to be the top-ranked teams a year or two out. But I would like to see that. I would like to see, you know, an NBA preseason game or something like that. Just a little bit more basketball programming in the arena is very much needed. And you can do some cool things. You can build it around these NCAA tournament games being here every 3 or 4 years in the local games, and just have it be more of a basketball event center, and maybe hang some banners for the Braves and Kelvin Murphy and Bob Lanier and all the old great basketball players, and kind of touch back to that legacy of playing basketball games down at the Odd many, many years ago.
Yeah, it's a great point. You bring like Nate Oates here, you're going to have a very big segment of the population, UB fans. People want to go and, you know, see obviously Alabama play, but also because of that recognition. How about Brian Hodgson? I want to ask you about him too as we wrap up here. A couple of names. Nate Oates, obviously Alabama, they lose in the Elite Eight. Brian Hodgson, his assistant here at UB, his assistant at Alabama. Now he's the head coach at the University of South Florida after being the head coach at Arkansas State. And he's a Jamestown native, as you know, his journey. And then, of course, there's Carlin Hartman, associate head coach at Florida, who's now in the Final Four. I mean, this is 31 years after being a Western New York, all Western New York first team selection, Carlin Hartman in the Final Four. Very cool. These are three names that maybe you can get these programs. But either way, great to see their success, Joe. And I know you've been following them.
Yeah, and Florida has another West New York native on their coaching staff, Jonathan Sapphire from Williamsville,
okay,
North. So, yeah, those are schools. And if you look around, there are schools around the country that either have coaches or players with ties to Western New York and would maybe be somewhat of a draw coming here in the arena. And also on the women's side, and there's some really good women's players playing at some big colleges all around the country, and even more joining the ranks next year. Madison Francis coming out of Lancaster, dunked the basketball twice this year in high school games. She'll be playing for Mississippi State. So there's opportunities to bring women's games into these doubleheaders, or maybe even host a women's NCAA tournament. That could be a possibility somewhere down the line. If the MAC, you got to get one of the conferences involved in that kind of thing. And the MAC usually hosts out in Albany, but they host men's games here. And I think they'd be open to possibly doing a women's tournament here at some point.
Follow him on Twitter at LeBronstein. That is Jonah Bronstein. He is the digital sports reporter at News 4, WIVB Channel 4 in Buffalo, a contributor for AP Sports. Listen, I mean, I always say that, you know, I don't think that, and that includes everything we do, but we try to give space to the college game, and I talk about high school sports a lot, but I think general overall in the media in Buffalo, I think that the college sports, the high school sports especially, are a bit undercovered, but you do a great job, and I appreciate you bringing that out there, and I want everybody to go there and follow you and keep up to date because you're doing that type of work. So thanks a lot for doing this today.
Well, I appreciate that, Sal. If I could get one more quick mention in, another local Buffalo basketball team, the Buffalo Extreme.
Oh, thank you.
ABA basketball. They're off playing at the ABA finals this weekend. They're in a semifinal game in St. Louis at 3 o'clock on Friday. And if they win that one, they'll be playing for the ABA overall professional basketball championship on Sunday. Coach Rich Jacob from Niagara Falls, and has coached a lot of local schools all around the years, running that team, and a lot of local players. Darren Fenn, who played at Canisius, is the owner. So we have local basketball going into April for, I think, the first time ever. We have, you know, two things going on, the women's NIT and the men's semi-professional team off playing for a championship in St. Louis.
Awesome. Rich is a great guy and obviously a fantastic coach. We got a lot of great coaches in this area, too, whether they're from here. A lot of them stopped here, but no doubt about that. Thanks a lot for reminding everybody about that. And again, if you want to learn more about that, the Buffalo Extreme, as well as the UB women in the NIT final, a lot of the local connections, what's going on in college and high school, follow Jonah online at LeBronstein. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, you too, Sal.
All right, thank you. That is Jonah Bronstein. Good stuff right there. All right, UB women, NIT final. Saturday at 5 p.m. Go to ubbulls.com for tickets. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the 11 a.m. hour, and then we'll bring you Christian Benford, his session with the media yesterday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, Bills cornerback Christian Benford signed a four-year contract extension that was announced officially by the club yesterday. Then he met with the media. The numbers on the deal were originally announced as 4 years, $76 million. We learned yesterday through reporting it's 4 years, $69 million. That's only just over $17 million a season, which actually ranks him 19th amongst NFL cornerbacks. Now, he's going to be like 22nd, 23rd by the time next year starts, most likely. I think it's a really good deal for the Bills. Christian Benford met with the local media yesterday, talked about how the process went, his thoughts on staying in Buffalo. We'll bring that to you when we come back after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, we're going to hear from Christian Benford here momentarily. We had Jonah Bronstein on a little while ago. Really good stuff this weekend down at Alumni Arena. UB women in the NIT championship, 5 p.m. Go to ubbulls.com for tickets. It'd be really cool to fill the arena and see a championship for a local college basketball team. That would be pretty awesome. Becky Burke was on with Josh and Zach and Derek earlier this week talking about her team. So good stuff from Jonah Bronstein. I'm going to tweet that out, and also just in college basketball in general and some of the local connections going on. So I'll tweet out that segment as soon as we have that posted. And everything gets posted at WGR550.com. Make sure you check it out. Lots of stuff from the owners meeting. So just want to kind of make sure you're aware that there's a lot of stuff at our website, WGR550.com. You go there and you click on teams and Bills, or you go and look at my Twitter feed, or go there in my name, and you'll see all the articles from the owners meetings. We got stuff on Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, the rules, and a one-on-one with Pete Gwelly, which I thought was really good and interesting. Some of the things that he said about the stadium, the opening next year. Pete Gwelly's the COO of the Bills and Sabres, and also KeyBank Center and development down there, their vision. We talk about third jerseys, alternate jerseys, uniforms. There's been a lot of debate and talk about that. So it's all at our website, WGR550.com. Christian Benford signs a four-year contract extension with the Bills. He's under contract for five more seasons. Exactly the same amount now as Terrell Bernard, Greg Rousseau, Khalil Shakir. Christian Benford, 4 years on top of the 1 year remaining on this year's deal, met with the media to talk about it yesterday. Here he is.
I got to speak to
you. So, how are you feeling?
Are you going to start with a riddle?
That's
right.
That's the question. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm blessed at the end of the day. Appreciative for where I'm at and thankful. For most, so.
How did this kind of come together? Like, when did you first hear that they wanted to extend you? Like, how did this come together on your end?
It started, like, right after the season. Talked to Bean, some of the other guys, just talking about wanting to continue on the relationship and the bond and to continue to be here. That's when it started. Now, of course, I'm all for it. Love the coaches here. Love the staff here. Everybody here from Marcus, all of them, the players too. So it was obviously something I was open to and would love to be a part of continuously. So,
have you had much time to reflect on your journey from like Villanova to the draft to here? Like, have you been able to kind of just look back at everything?
No, not really. Like, I'm more so like just appreciative, but I haven't really like sat down, just like let everything soak in. I don't know. I've been like that since college. Like, when you ask that, my college coach had asked me the same thing when I was younger. And stuff like that don't, like, hit me until, like, later. But I probably try to force myself to, like, really reflect on it. Because, like, when you, like, force yourself, you could become more appreciative. And you see, like, what God really have granted you with. So sometimes I probably just take a moment to myself, probably just go in the quiet room. Rain sounds. I don't know if y'all like the rain sounds before you go to bed or something. Like, yeah, low key, like on the humble tip, it'd be all right. But probably do something like that just to calm my mind, my soul, and then talk to God and try to like force myself to reflect on everything that I've been through. So let me just feel wherever I feel.
How does this drive you further on your pursuit to be the best?
I already got like a high drive. So this probably just something else that I just put in a bucket. But my drive already still strong to be the best in the league. It don't change nothing. I don't feel different, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my mindset's still the same. Get the Super Bowl, be the best in the league. But, yeah, for the drive standpoint, like, it ain't really touched that foundation.
Christian, signing that extension when your pen finally hit the
paper,
what was going through your head?
What was going through my head? If I used to use my right or my left hand. Because he started saying how many pages it was. I was talking to my agent beforehand. He just like, all these pages. And I was like, you gotta see. My right hand probably gonna get tired. I'm gonna have to use my left hand. But, all jokes to the back, I was getting appreciative. I prayed right before, like, I got off the phone. After I got off the phone with my agent, just got on my knees a little bit and prayed. And so much appreciation. And so much the pen touched. It was just like, I don't know. Just felt like all the people that have been rooting for me, that was there for me since I was younger, that aren't here now, that's up top, like, had their hand on my back. So that's what it kind of felt like, low-key.
You and some other pieces of this defensive side, extensions in offseason, then Beans brought in some new pieces. I know you guys haven't hit the field yet, but what's your first impression of how you're starting to see this defense kind of shape up here?
My first impression, got some talent. Like, they some talented guys. I don't really know them too much, respectfully. Like, Bosa, out of respect, I don't really know him too much. But obviously, he's a great guy, a hard worker. To where he got, where he's at, you can't really get where you at without hard work and having wisdom and knowledge. My dog Dane, my brother Dane. I was excited to see my brother Dane come back. That's my guy. So I was really happy. I called him. Well, I think somebody called somebody. But we was on the phone. I was getting balloons for my girl or something. And I was just on the phone with him, and he was just excited. And that was big excitement to see him come through. But other than that, I'm excited, you know, to play next to all those guys that's come to the defense to grow. Because I'm pretty sure they probably got the same idea as we do. Win the Super Bowl, get there, win it, and work. Like, no matter what it takes, just work and get paid.
It's weird to say that you're starting to be a veteran and one of the older guys on this team. Yeah. It feels like you just kind of got here. But, like, what's it going to be like in this cornerback room where there's still a lot of younger guys, maybe still more guys to come in, I'm sure. But what's it going to be like being a leader in that room in particular?
Probably not going to feel no different. Like, I probably, because a lot of times I was already – I'm not going to say I was already leading. I probably was leading more so by example, though. I don't really talk too much. So, but I know I talk when I need to. So, if that got where I'm at now, I'm going to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? Probably step up a little bit more. Obviously, it could always get better at something. But if my impactful ways have been working through the past years, why change anything? You know what I'm saying? Why not just add a little bit of knowledge on understanding somebody else and how to better them? So that's probably, I don't think it's probably going to change too much other than adding wisdom on how to get those guys that's new or anybody that I don't really know too much, how to get them up and going to what we got going on, our foundation that the guys has set when I first got here, and then get it better to get us, take that ball away. You know what I'm saying?
Chris, what would you tell your younger self about this moment, a kid who dreamed of signing an extension?
I tell younger me. I probably tell younger me, like, to get federal. Like, all those tears at night, it's going to pay off, Brody. All that, like, heavy thoughts, all that worrying for the family, all the worrying for the people that you love, trying to handle everything, and all that work that you've been putting in to where I feel like you can't even walk no more, bro. Like, it's gonna pay off eventually. Like, and all the everybody that didn't believe in you, that kind of like you thought would believe in you, all the people that backdoored you, it's all right, bro. Like, your dream, your mission, and God gonna always be there to keep you going. You know what I'm saying? And just keep your head high, smile more, try to talk more. but I probably just, that's probably what I really would say. And I'd probably give myself a hug.
Is an extension like this, so a weight off your shoulder, knowing that you're stepping deeper into your NFL career, solidifying who you are as an NFL player, along with the money that comes with that?
No. No, because money isn't everything, but it do help, you know what I'm saying? But on the field, nah, because my job not done yet. I still got a mission, you know what I'm saying? Get a ring, all pro. Pro, I don't really care about a pro, but you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Money just help for my legacy, help do God's work, you know what I'm saying? Give back to the needy. But on the field, nah, no shot. Keep going, bro. You only need like a few people to believe in you, whether that's one or three. You don't need 10. You don't need 5. You just need 1 to 3. That'll probably take you farther than anything. whatever you believe in, I'm a big man of God. Jesus Christ is my savior, but I'm not ignorant. So whatever you believe in, whatever your hierarchy is, like, stand 10 toes about it. And put that in the center of everything you do. Make it your first, not the first and the center. You know what I'm saying? And believe in yourself. Because a lot of people, even the people that's closest to you, might question you, might not believe in you. Believe in yourself. And those, the moments where it feel like the hardest, the moments where you feel like you want to quit, the moments where you question your higher or whatever you believe in that's up there, is the moment where you got to really dive in and believe. Stop questioning, work even harder, because that hump is going to get you to where you need to be at.
Why is the idea of an all-pro team more appealing to you than a Pro Bowl?
Respect. Pro Bowl cool, though. Don't get it twisted. Pro Bowl cool, but all-pro is, I believe in fans and stuff like that, but I feel like all pros, like, the people that vote in the all pro really seem like the logistics, like, what's really going on in the field. They understand what's behind the scenes. They just not seeing what's on TV, you know what I'm saying? They understand, like, oh, this person really strapping. This person really taking that ball away, X, Y, Z. And the fans' opinion matter 110%. But I just feel like the vote from people that really understand it is more genuine and more understandable.
You mentioned that belief earlier, the Bills drafting you, giving you the opportunity now with this extension, showing that belief in you. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot, because somebody believes in you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it means a lot, especially when you're coming from where, like, nobody believes in you, or, like, only one person believes in you. It means a lot. When a moment like this, like a life-changing moment, like, let's be for real, like, this is a life-changing moment. Like, let's just put all things to the side. Like, let's clear the air. Let's address the elephant in the room. Like, this is a life-changer, like, family, legacy, everything. And again, all it takes is one person to believe in you. You know what I'm saying? So it means a lot. It means, like, a tremendous lot. Also, because sometimes, like, you put in so much work, this could be off the field. You could put so much work in, so much time into something, and you're just not seeing no results. And that could go probably for y'all, too. Like, y'all put so much time in for y'all papers, y'all questions, X, Y, Z, y'all know too much. But, and then sometimes the outcome just not what you feel like it should be. You know what I'm saying? So a moment like this, like, all the extra work, outworking, feel like you outworking everybody in this building, outworking everybody in this country, and then doing the extra mile, like, being different from yourself, like, your old self, like, breaking your old self and adding some more to the new self, that's that's hard to do. And then seeing something like this, it means a lot, because it means like, all right, all this work that I'm putting in means something. It's not just going to waste. Because sometimes that's what you get feel sometimes. Like, you're like, yo, I feel like I'm doing all this for nothing. Everybody, I prefer feel like everybody in this building could feel like that. Like, you be like, yeah, I put all this, and I feel like I got nothing out of it. And then be moments like this where it's like, dang, I'm happy I kept going. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy I stayed true to myself and not just like crumbling. I'm happy I stayed like with my routine. I didn't just like, all right, this not working, put it to the side. This not working, trash it. Nah, I stayed true to it. The people that love me, I love them. The people that didn't love me, I still love them. Giving them joy and peace, it means something. You know what I'm saying? So all that trickles into this, like, it means something. No shot. You know, knowing the feels because something I need to work on and I didn't like it. Like if my break was bad, like I'm about to work on it so I feel like I can't get it wrong. You know what I'm saying? Not like this was sparking my mind. You know, I was working with Kay and all of them, like J Mark and all of them. But it's just like, yo, I got to work on this. So like for myself and for when it comes Sunday, it's not no incident or accident that happened. Like, it's bread and butter, you know what I'm saying? It's something like second nature. Say, I know it like the back of my hand, and muscle memory is right there. So if I'm not thinking in my body doing it, because I done worked on it so much to where, like, I can't mess it up. That's what's going through my brain.
The celebration that you do after a big play where you're like this, yeah. Some other guys on defense are like this too. What's the significance behind that?
I mean, it's called God. God, I feel like, again, I'm a big man to God. So, like, before every time before I go on the field, I just say a prayer. Like, Lord, protect me. Grant me grace and mercy. Not try my hardest. You know what I'm saying? Because that's all God asks you to do is try your hardest and have faith in Him. Have trust in Him and surrender to Him. So I say that quick prayer and I go all out. And then when it's time that I get paid, give my glory to God because that's the one who helped me through it. You know what I'm saying? So I call God. It's like a significance, like, yo, call God. He going to get you to where you need to be. You know what I'm saying? Have faith in Him. And He going to get you exactly where you need to be at. So.
What has this offseason been like for you, especially with the way the season ended for you? Like, what has it been like going after that and, like, kind of processing the way it ended
in that kind of way? It's been just more so, like, gaining more knowledge on understanding the game, body, health, mental, spiritual, all that, all the above. So just trying to elevate myself in the best way possible, not for this moment right here, but just for myself in general, you know what I'm saying? So I've been just trying to learn better ways of the body, ways to longevity, get longevity, make sure I'm straight. So anything that happens, I could bounce back like no other. Or prevent things from happening, you know what I'm saying? In the best way possible. So that's what this offseason looking like. Taking trust of my lady and my son.
Christian, it's been an exciting offseason for yourself. You have this contract extension that you just signed, and you also are releasing a book in a few weeks. What was the inspiration behind creating and releasing a children's book?
I just want to impact the kids, like, in the best way possible. So, like, it's really impacting the kids in the best way possible. And I like fashion. Like, I'm big in the clothes and wearing what you want to wear. Like, and again, just do what you want to do, respectfully though. And I know sometimes, like, kids, like my own son, like, sometimes I'll be like, yo, wear these, wear that. He's like, hey, no, I want them Skechers or something. I'm like, what? Like, and he'd be like, and something you gotta learn, like, yo, sometimes kids don't want all them Nikes, Adidas. They probably want them, like, what's that show? Power Rangers shoes, Team Umizoomi shoes, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. You like, bro, no shot. Like, but then it's like, it's a kid. Like, it's a, let the kid be a kid. And then let him rock it however he wanna rock it. You know what I'm saying? And if you wanna wear those type of sweatpants and all that, let him wear it. Don't let him look crazy, but like, let him wear that stuff, you know what I'm saying? And stuff like that kind of sparked my mind. And I know, like, my little cousin's baby girl, like, my niece, she'll come to my house wearing anything, but she'll love it. And I was like, yo, I like that. Like, my son the same way. My mom be like, yo, okay, that's different. They a Rocket, no care. It's like, who cares? And I like that. And so I know some kids, I talk to other kids. They're like, yeah, I like this. I like what you got on, da, da, da. And then they say something about, like, other kids talking about them. Nah, I just be like, yo, don't care. And it's not about what the other kids think about. You put it on at the end of the day. Like, it's about what you wear. You like what you wore, right? Like, when you got up this morning, you grabbed that shirt and them shoes. You said, yeah, I like this. I'm going to put them on. You didn't say they were going to like it. I'm going to wear this for them. Nah, you said, I like this. So I'm going to put it on. So I was like, all right, let me try to teach kids some more of that. So I went to write a book and put, like, a good visual to it. You know, some kids, a lot of visual learners. And picture, you're not going to put a book. Like, where is a kid going to be interested? No shot. Like, you need some pictures. So I wanted to do something like that and impact them in the best way possible to help wire their brain to be them. Be yourself. You know what I'm saying? People going to say what they say. They're going to think what they think. But if it's not helping you grow, put that to the curb. You know what I'm saying? It's not helping you grow. It's not helping you be a better man or a better woman, better boy, better girl. It don't matter. Like, then wear what you want to wear. Be you. And that's why I wrote the book, like, to be you. Like, teach all the kids that I can't reach out to or other kids that I can't get a chance to talk to. Like, yo, be you at the end of the day. Be different. If you want to be different, be different. You don't want to be a follower. You don't want to be like the next man. Because that, you was made for, God made you the way you are for a reason. He gave you the name that you got for a reason. He gave you your attributes, the thoughts in your mind for a reason. Your personality for a reason. Your taste buds for a reason. There's a reason why your taste buds not the same as the person to the left of you. You know what I'm saying? Be different. And stand 10 toes about it. So that's why I wanted to write that book.
You got a chance to talk to Sewell since
the extension
came in?
Yeah. I talk to Sewell all the time. I talk to Sewell. I was going to call Sewell after this. Keep it a buck. But, yeah, I talk to Sewell a lot. Supposed to go on a trip, but you know, you got kids, it's kind of hard. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it's my brother.
But Bobby is here, maybe come back and join you guys again?
Hey, it would be cool to play with my brother again, but only God knows at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? But I do talk to him. Sometimes when you outside of football, you ain't really trying to talk about football. Let's keep it a buck. Like, like, I probably just talking about his day, how he doing, what he doing, any trips, how you feeling, how your mental, you know what I'm saying? But a little bug in here is about coming back. Maybe I might do it later. Who knows?
Have you been paying attention to what the quarterback market was during free agency, what some of the other guys were getting around the league?
A little bit, but I don't really try. I do a little bit, but I don't really be on social media like that. I feel like kind of like drains you, or it's like it's not good for your soul, your temple, to see all that stuff that you see. You know what I'm saying? But I did view a lot of it. Congrats to those boys that got paid.
That is Christian Benford, Buffalo Bills cornerback. He met with the media yesterday after signing his 4-year contract extension. Again, next year, Christian Benford still under contract. Well, is under contract for next year and 4 more seasons. So the Bills have him through 2029, just like Greg Rousseau, just like Khalil Shakir, just like Terrell Bernard. It's very, very clear what the Bills have done here with their philosophy. They've identified that Josh Allen has, I would say, 4 to 5 years left in his prime and said, we're going to try and win a Super Bowl in that time period. This is our core. This is who we identify as the people who are going to be the wave to help us do that. They had one other core that didn't work out, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse, didn't work out. Now they're on to the other core to say, we're going to do this again with a new group. About 4 or 5 years left of Josh. Let's lock them all up right now. That's what they've been doing. One more left. That's James Cook. Still don't know his situation, but we do know that Brandon Bean said, don't expect a contract anytime soon. We've been talking about that today here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Still taking your calls if you'd like to chime in at 803-0550. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, I think we're going to see history, folks. I think we're going to see history.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
35 seconds to go in the period. There's Ovechkin score!
Number 892 from Alexander Ovechkin. Goals in his career. The NHL all-time record is 894. He is two away from tying the record. He's three away from passing Wayne Gretzky. About a week ago, I said, I don't think this is going to happen because he still needed six goals over, I think, 10 games. I think he scored in maybe three straight, including against the Sabres the other night. Afternoon, I should say. By the way, Josh, Sabres won 8-5 that game against the Capitals, as you know. Sabres score eight goals in Washington. Do you know the highest amount of goals the Capitals allowed this season before that game? In a game?
I know the Sabres scored the most all season. That was the most they've given up in one game, but I don't know how little it was before that. Maybe like four?
Five.
Five, okay.
I mean, they had allowed five goals several times. Sabres scored eight on them in one game.
That was a great game. I love watching that style of hockey. It reminds me of what we had 2 years ago, the run and gun style of hockey where it's, hey,
I know
we might get scored on five times, but we're going to score eight of them, so it's fine.
Let me touch on that, and then I'll get back to Ovechkin. I mean, look at the Sabres goals the last four games: 7-4-8-5, and before that 3-5. Yeah, there was a slump there, 1-2, but you look over their last 1-2-3-4-5-6 games. They have, let's do this. Over six games, they've scored 8. That's 15. That's 19. That's 27. 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 over the last six games. Over five goals a game. It's crazy, right? I mean, you're right. This is what we love to see. And they've won a couple in a row here. They actually, they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of six. Look, I know it's, people have said it's fool's gold, and that's fine. I mean, because what are they playing for? Really nothing, and they're winning here at the end of the season. Oh, yeah, here we go. Let's just not change anything. I don't think it means they're not going to change anything. But I also push back against this idea of, oh, my God, that means they aren't going to make all of these. Well, I guess, how would I want to say this? There's a segment of fans that I read that say, well, this means they're just going to run it back and not change anything. Well, I don't think that. They will change some things. But I will want to tell you that you can't just change everything. You can't change all the players. There are only so many changes you can make, no matter how good or bad you are. Yeah, you can try to do some bigger things. You can make quality over quantity changes. But they're not going to make tons of changes. They might have a big deal lined up with somebody, who knows, kind of along the lines of the Dylan Cousins. We'll see what happens with the RFAs. J.J. Paterka's first and most notably. And then Jack Quinn is in there. Who else? Ryan McLeod? Devin Levi? Yeah, those things have to get sorted out. Is there going to be an offer sheet for a guy like J.J. Paterka? How do they handle that? All those things have to get sorted out. But they're not just tearing it down and starting over. That's not happening. And when you see these goals being scored and them winning games, and it makes you feel like more angst and upset because you think that leads them to not making changes, I understand, but I think it's also just a little bit of, you know, a little needless stress to think about that in that way. I don't think that's the case. They're still going to have to make changes. They will. We also know they're a little bit hampered by the things that they can do. Okay, Alex Ovechkin. About a week ago, I said, I don't think he's doing this. I've changed, Josh. I think he's doing this now. Because now we're in a position where he needs three goals in seven games. That should happen, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't happen. I think he might get more than that. I mean, we're at the point where could he get to 900 this season? I think that's a very real...
Maybe, I guess. You're right. It's,
if he gets
it's in
a
the
couple
window,
of multi-goal
I don't know,
games,
though.
I mean, you never know. He could just keep going on a tear here.
I didn't even think about that, but here's the quick question. Let's look at the standings, though. Okay, hold on. Let's look at these standings. Would it benefit him to keep playing late in the season if he breaks the record and before the playoffs at his age?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If he breaks the record, he might just see if he could just shut it down because they are firmly in.
Right.
They've clinched the playoff spot. They clinched the first overall spot in the conference.
Have they clinched the first overall seed? Have they done that?
In the conference, I think, yes. Yes, actually, no, maybe I mean. I'm not sure. I know they just clinched a playoff spot.
Right.
But I know that they're technically still battling for the President's Trophy, I think, with Winnipeg.
Well, okay. Well, that matters, I think, because if you go to the Cup, you wanna have that.
Or if you believe in the curse of the President's Trophy, you don't want to have that.
Right. 105 points. I just think that it might get to a point of load management if he actually breaks it. You know? I mean, you might be looking at maybe he plays, but not as much, you know, at his age. But who knows? You're right. I mean, maybe 900 is in the window. Maybe it's something that's even more attainable that I'm giving the credit for at this point, now that I think about it. And that's true. Let's look at Alex Ovechkin. Let me look at his game logs here really coming up, because I want to see and get this right. He has this year. Oh, man, I go to his game logs. There's so many years you could choose from because he's been playing for so darn long. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Okay. He has scored a goal in each of his last three games. So at that pace, he would score another three in three games. He would do it here coming up in the next three games. He did not play the Sabres anymore. Thank goodness. I did not want it to happen against the Buffalo Sabres this year. But he did score in that game against the Sabres. He could do it tomorrow night on my birthday. That would be a pretty good memory for me. Like, yeah, Alex Ovechkin broke the record on my birthday. As much as I've said that I don't love seeing him break it, I'll just be honest with everybody. I'm not against it. It's great. There's certain players and records that you hold dear, and you're like, yeah, you never want to see it broken. But it's cool. It's going to be history. So I'm all about it. He could do it tomorrow night against the Chicago Blackhawks.
I mean, yeah, he could. That would be pretty impressive. But he hasn't had a multi-goal game since February 23rd. The last time he had more than one goal in a game was February 23rd. He had a hat trick against Edmonton. And before that, it was way back in November. But remember, he did miss most of December with a broken leg. Let's not forget that. He had a broken leg for three weeks in the season. So I want him to do 900 this year. I think it'd be really cool. Let's say he scores the 900th goal against Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins on the last day of the season. Like, that would be a great way to cap it off. I know everyone wants him to score the record breaker against the Penguins, but like, I think 900 would be just as cool.
He probably gets it before then.
Oh, but
let's think about home and away now. Let's think about home and away. Tomorrow night, they're at home against the Blackhawks, okay?
The energy's going to be incredible.
Then they go to the island to play the Islanders, okay? Then they come back against Carolina. I think that's where you're looking at maybe earmarking this thing happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was the only one to score against Carolina last night. They lost 5-1.
Right.
So that was, you know, not great. But
I mean, you want him to do that anyway, but if you're the team and you're writing the script, you certainly want it to happen at home, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah, because you have their eagle mascot flip over the little banner, and I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff they've got ready in the arena just in case. But yeah, I think with the energy that arena is going to have tomorrow, I think it's a very good chance that this just kind of propels him, like, because that place is just going to be on a razor's edge waiting for it to happen. You know, if he scores one goal tomorrow, it's just, there's no way he's not going to score two. And if he scores two, there's no way he's not going to score three. I know that sounds silly, but like, the amount of emotion and energy in that place and in that locker room, if he gets one goal, is just going to go through the roof. So I think if he can get on the score sheet tomorrow, it's going to happen tomorrow. Chicago's not that great of a team. They're already on, you know, a pretty great season as is. So like, I just think that if it's going to happen at home, I think it's going to happen tomorrow.
A hat trick would be amazing. And I've said this before, Gretzky scored a hat trick in Buffalo the night he broke the all-time single-season goals record. But as a tweeter pointed out, and it's right, the first goal was the one that broke it. So Gretzky came to Buffalo needing what he was tied with Esposito for goals in a season. He scored the record-breaking goal against the Sabres, and then he scored two more for the hat trick. Okay. In this scenario, Ovechkin would have to score all three goals in one game to get to the record. I don't know what happens tomorrow. Not that it matters, but last time they played Chicago was in December. He did not score in that game against the Blackhawks. Again, not that it really matters. Maybe he didn't play in that game, actually. Now I look back, because he had that injury. Maybe that was one of the ones he was out. They play the Islanders after that. I don't know if there's a bet. I don't know if I care either way. I'd like to see him do it at home. I'm resigned to the fact he's going to do this, and that's fine for me. Like, as I said, I mean, you know, I hold the Gretzky record and what he's done, you know, dear. The other thing about it with these guys, and we've talked about this before, is it is so remarkable that they've pretty much played. Let me see now where he is with games, because he has played, hold on, total, I think 1485. Gretzky has played 1487. That's amazing, isn't it? If he scores, if he breaks the record, if he ties the record tomorrow night or the night after, but that's the only thing he does in those two games, scores one more goal, he will have literally the exact same amount of goals as Wayne Gretzky in the exact same amount of games. That's incredible. What do you think about it?
I think that would be another piece of the storybook. Like, that would just be really, really impressive. Just also given the fact that, remember, through all of this, Ovechkin has seasons where he's lost out on lockouts, injuries, COVID. Like, there are so many half-played or non-seasons in his resume. Like, I wonder, you know, how much sooner he would have done this had those seasons not occurred. I mean, obviously you can't really do much about injuries, but like the COVID seasons, that the way they were, and then obviously the lockouts a couple years, like there's so much that like changed the story in his career. I think if you don't have one of those seasons where things are shortened up, he does this like a year or two ago, you know, like it, just by the way he's done it, I think it's already happened at this point. But, you know, obviously given all the things that have happened in his career, then, you know, this is where we're at. But it's just such an impressive feat, because this is something we never thought would happen.
I haven't seen anything official on this. Like, I don't think he's said that he's coming back or not coming back next year, right? He has not said or indicated either way. And I think it's kind of like, you're not going to ask him that when he's doing this chase. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that'll be the
Is there anything out there about it, though? Do we know, like, if he plans on returning next year? Because if he doesn't break the record this year, it's certainly happening, I would think. What if he does, though? Is he done?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything out there. I don't think he would not come back, especially because, I mean, last year we all thought Washington was kind of on the brink of maybe tearing it down and just trying to get him the record and then go away. But I think at this point, the way they're playing this year, he's got to see that, hey, this is still a good team and I've already broken the record. Why not just keep going as long as I can? Right, like if Washington was, you know, in the tank this year and picking top five, then maybe he says I'll break the record and call it. But with the way they're still competing, I think he would stick around. And I bet you that'll be like the second question they ask him in the post game interview after he breaks the record. You know, it'll be like, oh, how's it feel? Whatever. Okay, are you coming back next year now? Like, what's the plan? You know, so I think it's gonna be an interesting summer for the Capitals.
Your point about him missing time is right for this point I'm about to make, but he is still 300 games shy of like the all-time games played. And there's a lot of guys up there. Patrick Marleau has the most, 1,779 games played. Then Gordie Howe, and then Mark Messier, Gretzky's teammate for many years, at 1,756. Messier played till he was 43. Patrick Marleau played until he was 41. Alex Ovechkin is currently, how old, 39, 40? Let me see. Alex Ovechkin is, I think he's 39, about to turn 40. Let's see. It's his 39-year-old season right now, so yeah. Yeah, he's 39. He'll be 40 in September. I mean, he's not even 40 yet. That's crazy, right?
Right.
And we talk about these athletes playing into their 40s. Look at LeBron, what he's doing. That's amazing. So
he also,
I'm
looking at his hockey reference page here. He also has the most playoff goals in NHL history, the most game winning goals in NHL history, and the most shots in NHL history at 6,800. Ovechkin. He has. Okay.
Well, you said he. I didn't know if you were making Gretzky or Ovechkin or whatever. Go ahead.
My bad. Yeah. But he has 6,844 shots in his career. Shots on goal. That's a lot. That's crazy. I don't know how you keep track of stats like that, but it's impressive.
Yeah, it's just everything he's done is amazing. And he's going to break the record, I think, folks. He's got to get two more to tie, three more to break it. They have seven games left. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Thursday here on WGR. Really good question. Got from Chris, tweeted in. Said, how many regular season overtime goals has Gretzky and Ovechkin have? You want to guess? So overtime, in NHL overtime started in the 80s when I was younger. Regular season overtime. I have to see exactly when. I don't remember the exact year. But if you want to guess, Josh, how many regular season overtime goals, not playoff, did Gretzky score, and how many has Ovechkin scored? Because that obviously factors into, because it counts for, that counts for goals, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I remember this a few weeks ago. I think we looked at this a few weeks ago. I think Ovechkin has around 60 playoff goals, because he hasn't, not that he hasn't played much playoff games, but it's...
No, no, I didn't say playoff. I said how many regular season overtime goals?
Oh, overtime. I'm sorry. I thought you said playoff goals. Overtime. No. That one, I have no idea. I'm going to go with 100.
I do want to point this out real quick. Before, okay, 83-84 was when overtime started in the NHL, okay, in regular season. 83-84. It was 5-on-5 overtime for 5 minutes, though. It's not like it was today. So Gretzky's whole career was pretty much played in the overtime era. But it wasn't the way it is now where they go to 3-on-3 and they had 4-on-4 before that. You know what I mean? There's obviously more goals scored now in overtime than there were for many years. But he did play in the overtime era. So again, my apologies. Well, how many do you think?
For Gretzky, I'm going to go with 130.
Overtime goals in the regular season?
Yeah, why not? I mean, hey.
Wow, he had two.
He had two?
Two.
Okay.
I mean, how many overtime goals games are you even going to play in a regular season?
Well, sure, but I mean, he did play for a long time.
Yeah, well.
That's fair. I might have.
Ovechkin has 27.
Okay. I was shooting for the stars there. My bad. I don't know why I was thinking the high numbers there.
That's okay. But. And Ovechkin is the all-time NHL leader with 27 regular season overtime goals. All-time. That's the most ever. Gretzky had two. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Obviously, I know that you're trying to think because they think, okay, it kind of sounds right to say like a really high number in your head. But if you think about the amount of times you actually go to overtime and how many times that game ends with your team scoring and you being that guy, it's not going to be that many, right? 27 for Ovechkin. Anyway, someone tweeted in and asked that about it, so wanted to address that. 27 for Ovi. So it's a difference of 25 if you want to take away that, and then, you know, he'd still be on pace to break the record. But that's going to happen in the next couple of days. All right, we got to take it over to Sabres Live. I'm sure they'll talk more about this. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.